If you would take your Bibles and open them to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Last week, Jared began our new teaching series that Rob just referenced, entitled, When We Gather. And he showed us from Hebrews chapter 10 why we believe that participating in the Sunday morning worship service is of central importance for Christians. And today, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the most important part of our Sunday morning worship service, and that is the preaching of God's Word. And we find that in passages like 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. And the reason I'm going to have you do that is after we're done reading it, we're actually going to pray for the preaching through song. And so we're done reading the passage. If you just remain standing, and Joseph is going to lead us through a couple of verses of Speak, O Lord. So would you stand? As we now read from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Devote yourself to them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. And now let us pray as we sing from two verses of Speak, O Lord, written by Keith Getty and Stuart Townend.
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory.
Verse 3.
Speak, O Lord, and renew.
That is our prayer, that you would speak to us this morning, and that you would speak to us through the preaching of your holy word. And I pray that you would help this preacher to preach in a way that honors your word, and in a way that serves these dear saints for whom Christ has shed his blood, and to preach in a way that gives you much glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So how's your Sunday morning going? Good? I guess it's Sunday afternoon at this point, isn't it? Did you have any trouble finding a good parking spot in the parking lot? And when you came through the doors, did people joyfully greet you? And when you walked into the lobby, was it warm and inviting? And did you enjoy the art display that's out there? Did you have any trouble dropping your kids off at Promise Kingdom? How's your seat? Is it comfortable? Can you see okay? What about the music? Did you enjoy the songs that we sang? And what about the announcements that Rob gave? Were they brief and amazing? Why am I asking you these questions? I'm asking you these questions because I want to ask you this question. Why are you here? Why is it that we gather? And maybe to answer that question, let me give you something a little bit more specific to ponder. What is it that you most look forward to when you come to church? Now, there are many good answers to that question, but I would venture to guess that for most of us, if we were to boil that down into one answer, we would say that what we most look forward to when we come to church is we look forward to encountering and experiencing God with the people of God. And according to this text, we see that the primary way we experience God when we gather is through the preaching of God's word. The most important part of the most important meeting of our week happens right now in the preaching of the word of God. And 1 Timothy chapter 4 and the verses that we read, they tell us two things about preaching when we gather. Here's the first thing. When we gather, preaching is the priority. Now we know, if you flip over to chapter 1, we know from chapter 1 verse 3 that Paul needed to go to Macedonia. And so he writes that he leaves Timothy in Ephesus for the purpose of building and leading the church there. And desiring to really serve his son in the faith from Macedonia, he writes Timothy two separate letters, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, instructing him and giving him many things that he needs to do as he leads and builds the church. But there is one thing. There is one thing that he passionately calls Timothy to make a priority and to devote himself to, and that is the preaching and teaching of God's word. Look with me again at verses 13 through 16. He says, "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have," and that's most likely the gift of preaching and teaching. "Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you." And listen how he repeats the theme. Practice these things. Devote yourself to them so that all may see your progress. And then he uses verse 16 to really summarize all that he's saying. He says to him, "Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching." See, we see from these verses and the specific words that he uses in these verses, like devote yourself and practice these things and keep a close watch on the teaching, that he's showing Timothy and God is showing us this morning that when we gather, the preaching of God's word is the priority. In fact, when he sends his second letter to Timothy, Paul echoes this priority when he writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, this: "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." Wayne Mack makes this wonderful observation. He says, "The centrality of biblical teaching in corporate worship is apparent to anyone who peruses the New Testament." We saw it in the first New Testament church. So in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, God pours out his spirit on his disciples, and Peter, filled with the spirit, preaches that powerful gospel message, and Luke records to us in Acts 2 that 3,000 people were born again. 3,000 people were saved that day in hearing the preaching of God's word and preaching the gospel in particular. And then they were added to the church. And this is what's described about them regarding their addition to the church. It says this in Acts 2, verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You see, God has made it clear from His Word that when we gather, the preaching and teaching of His Word is the priority. And preaching has always been and always will be the priority on which we build this church here at Covenant Fellowship and how we build our family of churches in Sovereign Grace Ministries. That's why when we as elders began to think about who could be our next senior pastor, when Dave would pass the baton to a younger man, we asked two questions. Who has godly character? And who is our best preacher and teacher? And the men on this pastoral team, they are wonderful. They are good preachers and teachers. But there was one man that stood out to us, and that was Jared Millinger. And so the priority of preaching that's so clear in God's Word made that question easy to answer in terms of the man that would be our senior pastor, because Jared is an exceptional preacher. And next month, Jared, we are going to celebrate the fact that you have led us for 1 year now. And you are doing an outstanding job in preaching and teaching us. Because of his faithful expositional preaching, this church will be built on the Word of God. And he's doing an outstanding job in serving us that way. Not only is he doing that here, what most of you wouldn't know is he serves with his preaching gift across Sovereign Grace Ministries. One of the privileges we have here at Covenant Fellowship, one of the things I love is we get to have Dave Harvey here, who serves Sovereign Grace with both church planting and church care. And on the church planting arm, there's a church planting group that's actually based here. It's led by Dave, includes Rob Flood and myself. And one of the things that we're charged to do as a church planting group for Sovereign Grace is to ensure that any churches that are planted in the future or any churches that we adopt in the future are led by men who have a strong preaching gift. And so we've assembled a preaching assessment team that's comprised of the best preachers across Sovereign Grace Ministries, and one of those on that team is our own Jared Millinger, who's one of the best preachers in our movement. And Jared regularly evaluates the preaching of young men who desire to plant churches or of senior pastors who want their churches adopted, because preaching is a priority for us as a family of churches. See, when we gather, the preaching of God's Word, he makes very clear here and in other texts, is the priority. The question is, why? Why is it so important to God to make it a priority? Why is preaching such a priority? Well, one reason is because through preaching, God speaks to us. I mean, think about the other aspects of our Sunday morning meeting. When we sing songs to God. When we collect the offering, we give to God. When we pray to God. But in preaching, God speaks to us. It's the one moment, it's the one event on Sunday where God actually addresses us and we hear from him through the preaching of his word. That's why we prayed through song just a moment ago. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Let me go back to my question. Why are you here? And aren't you here because you want to experience God with the people of God? I believe you do. And if that's you, then you've got to really understand what is happening here in this pulpit in the preaching event. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones says it this way: what is preaching? There is a man standing in a pulpit speaking, and there are people sitting in seats listening. What is happening? Why does that man stand in that pulpit? Why do these other people come to listen? Any true definition of preaching must say that the man is there to deliver the message of God, a message from God to those people. You see, God has mercifully been kind to be faithful to speak to his people. And throughout the Old Testament, he used prophets and priests and kings. And today, he uses preachers to speak to us from his holy word. Preaching is the priority when we gather because preaching is the primary means by which we hear from God and receive grace from him as we hear the preaching of his word. See, it's a priority because we can gather together knowing, expecting, anticipating that we will hear from God. But that's not the only reason it's a priority. There's a second one that we find here in the text. It's a priority because through preaching, we are taught God's word. Look with me again at verse 13. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Now, at that time, it was the custom for scriptures to be read publicly in the church's worship service when they gathered, followed by an expositional teaching of the passage that had just been read, which included exhortation, where the preacher not only explained the passage, but he helped the hearer apply the word of God to their lives. It's the same pattern that we follow today. Preaching is the public reading and teaching. An explanation, an exhortation of God's word. In other words, preaching is word-based. Preaching exists to serve the word of God in our lives. And the man that is standing in this pulpit each and every Sunday is charged with preaching God's word in the way that God intends. See, preachers aren't called to stand here and share their personal reflections or just their ideas. We're not called to give you our political opinions or to give you a good motivational speech where you can become a better person. That's not what we're called to do. The goal of preaching is to re-speak and explain what God has spoken in his word, and the preacher, in all the ways that he speaks, in all the ways that he preaches, is bound to what God has already spoken here. So the goal of preaching is fabulous, and the power of preaching is really found in the re-speaking of God's word, because preaching stands upon the reliability and the infallibility and the authority of Scripture in a way that when a sermon is preached and it makes a claim upon our lives and it calls us to follow Christ in obedience, that claim comes not from the preacher, it comes from the authoritative word of God in our lives. When we gather on Sunday morning, one of the things that we think about as a pastoral team is we want our worship services to be word-centered and word-saturated. And preaching is very important because preaching explains everything else that we do on a Sunday. So, for example, John Calvin talks about how preaching and the sacraments, those being baptism and the Lord's Supper, how preaching and the sacraments go together because preaching and teaching explain and bring a depth of meaning to the sacraments that we enjoy as a church. And if you go back to verse 13, look at verse 13, that uses the word teaching, and then in verse 16 as well, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. He uses teaching there. And in fact, in the two letters that he sends to Timothy, he uses teaching or teacher or teach like 13 times. So we know that preaching is a priority, but as it's used there in verse 13 and 16, it not only is talking about the act of teaching, the Greek that's used where is actually talking about content as well. And so there are some translations that will translate the word teaching doctrine. And so in the New International Version, for example, the first half of verse 16 is translated, keep a close watch on yourself and on the doctrine. You see, Paul's saying to Timothy, you will build a strong church if you faithfully preach sound doctrine. He charged Titus with the same thing when he left him in Crete to build the church there, for he says to Titus in chapter 2, verse 1, but as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. And we throw that term around a lot, sound doctrine, but really, what is sound doctrine? Well, if you flip over to chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1, he ends verse 10 by referencing sound doctrine and explains it in verse 11 by saying sound doctrine in accordance with the glorious gospel. In other words, sound doctrine is always gospel saturated and gospel rich and gospel centered. And the true preaching of sound doctrine always has God's gracious redemption of sinners through the saving work of Jesus Christ on the cross in view. You see, here's the point. We don't truly preach here if we don't preach Christ, regardless of what passage we preach from. Preaching is a priority. Because we can see in preaching sound doctrine, what we're doing is we're preaching and proclaiming gospel truths to not only believers, but unbelievers as well. Did you note what he said at the end of verse 16? The second half of the verse. He says, persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. And obviously, hearers in the gathered church, you're going to have both Christians and non-Christians. You're going to have believers and unbelievers. And so we want a purpose to be faithful to preach God's word to believer and unbeliever alike, because God has appointed the public preaching of his word to be a primary means through which lost men and women come to know Christ as their Savior. In fact, if you look throughout the New Testament, if you look throughout church history, wherever large numbers of people were saved and they come to Christ, it's because God pours out his Spirit upon the preaching of his word. It's why we include preaching in our Alpha course. And Jim does a great job of preaching the gospel there. And by the way, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we're so glad that you're here. And the best way that we can serve you and the best way that we can love you is to tell you that Christ died for your sins. And if you repent of those sins, if you turn from them and you trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, you will have eternal life forevermore. And if that raises questions for you, or if you want to know more about that, come to Alpha this Wednesday night. It meets right here at 6:30. But if you're here this morning and you are a Christian, the best way that we know as your pastors to love you and to serve you and to care for you is to tell you over and over again about the gospel truths, to tell you about the good news of Jesus Christ and how to apply that to your life, because it's the gospel that offers hope to unbeliever and believer alike. See, when we gather, preaching is the priority because we hear Christ preached. And our souls, they are filled, and they are thrilled, and they are strengthened as we hear God speak to us through his word. When we gather, preaching of his word is the priority. But here's the second point. Here's the second thing the text tells us about the preaching event. Here it is. We gather because preaching has great purpose. We gather because preaching has great purpose. Now, we can see from verse 13 and 16 that Paul has called Timothy to preach sound doctrine, and we know that includes gospel truths. And our experience has been, an experience in Scripture, is that anywhere the gospel is preached, things happen. It says in Romans 1:16 that the gospel is the power of God. And anytime the gospel is faithfully preached, people are changed. Lives are transformed. It's why, actually, Paul calls Timothy to be a godly example in verses 12 and 16. Look at verse 12. He says, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example. And he's an example in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. And then in verse 16, he summarizes and tells him again, keep a close watch on your life. He's saying to Timothy that you need to be a living model of the godly fruit that your gospel teaching will produce. In other words, when you preach the gospel, people are going to be changed, and you need to model that kind of life for them. See, it reminds us that preaching really is God's work, isn't it? It's not the preacher's work. Preachers don't change you. God changes you. And so preaching is God's work. And there's something unique about the live preaching moment that we're enjoying right now, something unique that God uses in our lives to powerfully change us. See, there's more going on when a preacher is preaching and teaching than just the delivery of information. J.I. Packer says it this way: preaching mediates not only God's authority, but also his presence and his power. See, preaching is not just a communication of truth. Preaching also uniquely ushers in the presence and the power of God in a way that the Holy Spirit acts upon us, and in that moment, we are changed. Many of you have experienced the presence and the power of God as you heard the Word of God preached to you. In fact, there are certain sermon titles. There are certain titles of preaching series that are etched in your mind, because as you think about those titles, you can go back to where you were sitting in this auditorium or in the Gauntlet Center where God powerfully acted in your life. It's messages like Going and Not Knowing that call us to a risky faith. Some messages like The Surgeon and the Scalpel and The Saint in Sin. And when I heard that message, it pierced my soul and it pointed out to me the self-righteousness that's in my heart. And then Dave helped me to apply the gospel in a way that I was changed. And I took it home and it changed our marriage. Messages like Comfortably Saved in the City of Sodom that we heard in the Gauntlet Center, where Dave warned us, don't get too close and too comfortable with the world around you. I can remember a couple of years ago, I was sitting up here in these front rows, and I heard Dave preach the audacious claim of the unstoppable gospel, and as I heard that message preached, my heart was stirred, and I was grateful that I get to participate in the mission that you and I have been given by Christ, and that we get to do that together. I can remember just a few months ago, that series, In My Place. Wasn't that a wonderful series? That particular series affected me, but I remember the second message of In My Place. I was sitting there, second row next to Jill, and Jared is preaching In My Place, and the topic was judgment. And throughout that message, there was times that all I could do was weep. Because God was powerfully acting upon my soul. And I was grateful that I was a man who had been saved from judgment through the finished work of Jesus Christ, that I would never experience wrath. And that message and that series in particular, the way that it powerfully changed my life is it increased my love for Jesus. You may have your sermon titles. You may have your sermon series that stick out to you. In fact, they're probably flooding into your mind right now. And you can tell me where you were sitting in the Gauntlet Center, where you were sitting in this auditorium as you heard the preaching of God's word. In that moment, you experienced the power of God, and it changed you. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have those moments when I listen to messages online. There's something unique for me, and there's something unique for you, I'm sure. There's something unique for us. There's something different about the live preaching moment where God uses it and the Spirit acts and He changes us. One of the great purposes of preaching is God uses it to change us. See, we as your pastors, we dearly love you. We genuinely believe that you are the dearest saints on earth. You're a joy to preach to, by the way. But we know this, We know that we aren't able to help you with an issue in your life or an issue in your family if you're not here regularly on Sunday mornings listening to redemptive-centered, grace-saturated, hope-filled gospel preaching. We know we can't help you if that's not a part of your life. Recently read an article written by Ligon Duncan and Terry Johnson entitled A Call to Family Worship. And listen to what they say. What is the first key to a Christian family's spiritual health? The first and primary key to your family's spiritual health is a commitment to the weekly public worship services of the church. Sound far-fetched? I will say it even stronger. I've yet to meet a person for whom it could not be said that his problems, personal, marital, family, or vocational, would not be helped by such a commitment. By saying so, I do not minimize the seriousness of the problems that people face. Rather, I maximize our confidence in the power of the gospel preached. See, it's not just about showing up 52 weeks a year. It's about gathering together where you have a conviction that preaching, true gospel preaching, will be used by God to change your life. And if you don't have that conviction presently, one of our prayers as pastors is that this series will begin to define and shape that conviction for you so that you arrive here when we gather expectant to encounter God through the preaching of His Word. One of the great purposes of preaching is that God uses it to change us. There's another purpose that we see here in the text. Another purpose of preaching is that preaching protects us from false doctrine. If you flip back over to 1 Timothy chapter 1, you look at verse 3, what he's saying is that I had to go to Macedonia, I needed to leave Timothy in Ephesus, and then he says in verse 3, that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculation. In fact, he begins chapter 4, the chapter where our text is from, by saying this, that some will actually depart the faith because they're deceived and dragged away by false teaching, by false doctrine. That's why he says in chapter 4, verse 16, O Timothy, you've got to keep a close watch not only on yourself, but on the teaching or on the sound doctrine. Because the preaching of sound doctrine, it protects God's people from false doctrine. And as we celebrate our 25th anniversary as a church, ponder with me for a minute how the faithful preaching pulpit of Covenant Fellowship Church has protected us from false teaching. We've been protected from the health and wealth gospel that seeks to turn the Christian life into indulgences rather than holiness. We've been protected from the therapeutic movement which seeks to center our problems outside of us rather than in us, and therefore solve them through therapy and not gospel. We've been protected from the egalitarian perspective, which seeks to find meaning in equal rights rather than the complementary relationships that image forth God's good design and good purposes for men and women. We have been and we continue to be protected from the postmodern thought that there is no absolute truth today by hearing the regular preaching of sound doctrine, of absolute truth that's found in God's Word. And brothers and sisters, there will be future false teachings that will come our way. There will be future false doctrines that could potentially drag any of us away from the faith that he warns about in the first part of the chapter of chapter 4. And so you and I, we are dependent upon God. We are dependent upon him through the preaching of his word. And so when we gather together, one of the purposes that he has for us is to protect us and to protect his church from false doctrine. One last purpose that we see in the text. Preaching changes us. Preaching protects us from false doctrine. One last purpose. Preaching helps us persevere. Look at the second half of verse 16 with me. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. The language used here in the Greek means to persevere. He began the chapter saying, warning that some can be drug away from the faith through false teaching. Then he says, teach the word, Timothy, teach sound doctrine. And he ends the chapter by saying that preaching will actually help us to persevere in our faith. He's saying to Timothy, persist in modeling and preaching the gospel so that your hearers will persevere in the faith. See, there are mornings when any one of us in this room, we arrive here weary and disillusioned and condemned and discouraged. And one of the ways that God has purpose to care for you and to care for us is to offer you fresh hope as you hear the preaching of His Word. That's why Paul writes with great pastoral heart, verse 10, look at verse 10, for to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially to those who believe. You see, preaching does this. Preaching speaks to the discouraged and disillusioned soul, and it proclaims Christ to that soul. And it reminds you that He is your Savior, and that because of His finished work upon the cross, you are secure. And your Savior, He will never let you go. Grace-saturated preaching speaks to those who are here this morning, and you arrive here feeling distant from God. Faithful biblical preaching reminds you from Hebrews 4 that because of Christ, you can draw near the throne of grace this morning confidently to receive mercy and grace in your time of need. Gospel-centered preaching speaks to those who arrive here this morning feeling condemned. Maybe you had a week where you just feels like you sinned a lot, and you come this morning with guilt and condemnation. And gospel-centered preaching preaches to you the truths of Romans 8 that tells us that there is nothing in all creation, not even your sin, that can separate you from the love of God because of what Christ has done on your behalf. See, hope-filled preaching speaks to those this morning who come here feeling weak. You're here feeling weak, and God wants to remind you through preaching that your weakness actually now positions you to receive God's power. As the preacher proclaims to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, that when you are weak, He is strong, and you will receive His power. See, hope-filled preaching, it speaks to all of us. Faithful preaching speaks to all of us, and it reminds us from Hebrews 12 that our Savior is the author, and He's the perfecter of our faith, and that by His grace, He's at work in our lives, perfecting our faith, so that we will persevere in the faith all the way till the end. When Christ is preached, we persevere in the faith. We don't come to church primarily to give to God. We come to church primarily to receive from God. And what He says to us in His Word, the primary way that we receive from Him is through the preaching, the faithful preaching of His Word. See, we don't show up here and gather together and regroup and get our marching orders. No, we gather to be with God, don't we? We gather to be with God. And it's through the faithful preaching of God's Word that God speaks to us. And here's what He does. He applies to our souls like a balm the benefits of Christ's victory on the cross in a way that our souls are again thrilled because of Christ. Our souls again are filled because of Christ. Our souls are strengthened because of Christ. And we receive His grace and we go and we do good works for Him. Oh, may Christ be preached forever in this church. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us. Truths unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity. And by grace will stand on your promises. And by faith will walk as you walk with us. Oh, speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory. May we, Covenant Fellowship, always be a church who gives preaching the priority, the same priority that God gives it. And may we always gather together each and every Sunday as a church family, eager to hear it, worship God for it, and receive grace in it, and live in obedience to it, knowing that God has designed preaching to accomplish His great purposes in our lives. Amen.